This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This message is brought to you by Abercrombie & Fitch. I've been ready for summer for a while, and now it's finally time for summer outfits. With a trip coming up, the A&F Vacation Shop has me covered. Abercrombie really knows how to do a lightweight outfit. Their tees, sweater polos, and linen blend shorts never miss. I wear Abercrombie denim year-round. Their shorts are no different and have the comfort I need for summer. Prep for your next trip with the A&F Vacation Shop. Get their newest arrivals in-store, online, and in the app.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Halliburton, a three for the win, and goal!
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He is the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, Jim Irsay.
I always say it's hard to find me one person that doesn't love Rich Eisen. We certainly appreciate all you do for the NFL.
Today's guests, CBS Sports broadcaster Jim Nantz, Bills tackle Deion Dawkins, founder and CEO of Clutch Sports Group, Rich Paul. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Can confirm it. Here I am. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Another odd way to start it, but I am who I am. What can I tell you? Right here live on the Roku Sports Channel, right here live on the Infinity Sports Network, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. We say hello to anybody out there listening to us whenever you want on our podcast, available every single day through the Cumulus Podcast Network. We greatly appreciate that. 844-204-RICH is the number to call right here on this program. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
I'm great. And I just want everyone to know how much restraint I showed in the group chat yesterday.
Is that the way you choose to lead the program?
Well, you did that after the Celtics game, so I
wanted
to.
Well, I didn't lead the program that way.
Well, you kind of did. I just want to pay it back.
I mean, I didn't lead the program.
I want to pay it back forward for
you. Good to see you, Jay Felly.
Hey.
How are you?
What's up, Rich? I'm great.
Good to see you, Jay Felly. Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. The candle's lit.
Candles lit. I was just thinking, the last time me, you, and Jay were together, man, it was a good time.
Oh, yes.
It was a good
time. Well, yeah. Because we were sitting at the bar in Atlanta.
Magic City.
Yeah. Watching the Yankees beat the Mets in a Subway Series game. Juan Soto making the last out.
Wasn't so great.
You walked into that one. That's a spinning curve in the zone you hung at me, man.
Overall, it was good.
Yes, just to hang with the Knicks were eliminating the Celtics. Mm-hmm. To make the Eastern Conference final.
And that was the first time I think the three of us have ever done anything together.
I wouldn't say that.
Just the three of us?
I mean, we're
just
doing this.
Yeah.
Just the three of us. Jeez, is that the way you want to lead the show?
Oh, my God.
What is happening here?
Okay.
Jim Nantz is on this program. We'll chat with him. Deion Dawkins of the Buffalo Bills is going to join us. He's going to join us because in March he's... He was here in studio. I said, hey, you're commissioner for a day. What do you want to do? What rule would you want to change? He goes, it's not a rule I'd want to change. I'd like to create an award called the Protector of the Year Award. And the NFL announced this week.
Wave a wand.
We've got one. It's called the Protector of the Year Award. So Deion Dawkins spoke something into existence.
That is so cool.
Which means he... bring me Deion Dawkins. And he was kind enough to say yes. He will join us.
And the Bills are doing Hard Knocks.
And the Bills are doing Hard Knocks. Lots to talk about with him.
Like Penny Lane said, it's all happening.
In hour number three, Rich Paul, the founder and CEO of Clutch Sports, will be here in studio. Lots to talk about with him from Clutch Sports. And we start with the opposite of Clutch. The New York Knickerbockers. We all know about them. We've heard of them. I talk about him a lot, being a native New Yorker, grew up loving the team, diehard Knick fan until James Dolan had Charles Oakley dragged out of Madison Square Garden. I swore off the team until Jalen Brunson showed back up and got me back and pulled me back in. And, you know, fully aware of how unaware the New York Knicks fan base as a whole is painted and viewed by the general American sports population. Not to rope you in, TJ, But the Knicks fans are frequently equated with Dallas Cowboy fans. And the fact that we believe our team is the greatest of all time, you know, don't really have the recent victories to back that up. And by recent, I'm talking about decades. The Cowboys have won Super Bowls, plural, since the Knicks last won a championship.
Four of them.
Correct. Knicks won a championship the year I was born. This fine wine may not back it up. I'm in my mid-50s.
You're in your prime, baby.
And Knicks fans celebrating the bouncing of the Boston Celtics like they won it all. Honestly, like cops had to be called in. People were climbing up on top of billboards.
It was like a Philly parade.
What the hell's going on? Except the Philly parade's after they win it all.
I mean, in all honesty, so, that's a normal Wednesday in New York.
I get it. Yeah, right. I get it.
Throwing garbage
fans
at people.
Fans get opened up to interpretation this way as if they're front-loading something they have to still go earn. But good feelings abound. I understand Tatum got hurt. I get it. Knicks eliminated last year. They were banged up. It happens. Got to beat the team in front of you. And they beat the Boston Celtics and suddenly have the Eastern Conference Finals in their home. Home court advantage. Who saw that one coming all season long? Nobody. While the Cavs were winning 64 games and the Celtics were doing Celtics things. So Knicks fans are feeling it. Feeling it. This is it. This is their time.
I can feel it.
Here come the Pacers into the building. Team that eliminated them last year. Knicks fans feeling all we had to do is be healthy. We would have beaten them. Guess what? They're healthy this time around. And they got Karl Anthony Towns. And Bridges. And a home court advantage in the Eastern Conference Finals. All they have to do is take the court in game one. And make sure these good feelings, these good tidings, these advantages they have aren't washed out by a loss that recalls all the bad feelings of the last few decades. All they got to do is avoid the embarrassing, mortifying, heartbreaking, heart-wrenching loss at the hands of the Pacers by blowing a massive lead to recall the times that they would blow leads. Oh, wait a minute. I'm told that's exactly what happened. Choke 2.0 is the back page headline of the New York Post. Epic collapse crushes Knicks in frighteningly familiar fashion. The inset is Reggie Miller doing the choke move than when he scored.
Wow.
All those points in the
dang.
In those small amounts of seconds back in the day. And there's
it was 9 points, wasn't it?
Tyrese Halliburton in 8 seconds. Yeah. Tyrese Halliburton with the same damn move.
I mean, the proper hand over.
It's not like he had it prepared or anything.
He couldn't have.
Same damn move. But even that was premature celebration, for which there is medicine. And that is, after you consult your doctor for premature celebration, winning the damn game in overtime that you didn't see coming. Because you blew a 14-point lead in the last 2 minutes and 51 seconds. Win it in overtime. Couldn't do that. Lost it. They lose it. And all the bad feelings. Charles Smith can't make a layup. And Patrick Ewing can't make a finger roll. And John Starks can't make a shot against Houston. They're all coming back with Reggie Miller and the choke move. All of it laid bare in front of Clyde Frazier and Bernard King and Larry Johnson and Starberry and Larry David and Susie Essman. We're back together. And I'm sure all of the language they're associated with was used liberally by every Knick fan in Madison Square Garden watching this disaster unfold. The slow motion car crash unfold.
Don't forget Chalamet.
In front of Chalamet.
I love Chalamet, man.
If Tracy Morgan wasn't vomiting, he was by the end of this one.
Starks was in the building.
Everybody was
there. Yeah, they were all there.
Everybody.
All of it. And I got to be honest with you. Chris, I don't want to have this debate. We've had it multiple times. I know you keep saying, if you know you're going to lose,
yeah, you don't want to lose like that, bro.
Out what do you rather mean? Rather than this.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, Neesmith making
every
shot in the fourth quarter and knowing he's getting the ball, and it was as wide as the Atlantic Ocean. Splash. Over and over and over again. And Halliburton hitting the back heel, having it pop straight up and come down the chimney.
That was insane.
Without hitting anything but net.
Insane.
And it took its time, too.
Oh, it was like 20 feet in the air.
It hung.
I saw it.
I was like going
to fair. Bill Bradley.
Poor Bill Bradley was there, man.
In front of everybody. Holy crap.
That's a shame.
And in terms of never seeing something like this before, the Pacers had all the stats.
Yeah.
They tweeting were, it out yeah, over yeah. the last 27 yeah. postseasons. Teams were 0-970 when they trailed by 14 or more in the last 250 of regulation. That's now 1-970, but wait, there's more. The interns were crushing it. Since 96-97, teams that have trailed by 7 or more in the final 50 seconds of the fourth quarter or overtime of the playoffs are now 4-1702. The Pacers have 3 of those wins, and they're all this year.
Wow. That was the one where I was
they
like,
did it to the
like,
Bucks. They did it to the Cavs, and now they've done it to the Knicks. They've done it in each round, which yeah. makes them feel inevitable. I don't blame them. They're deep, they're good, and they feel no deficit is too large. They feel it. Tyrese Halliburton, Knicks fans, I'm sure he is now viewed as public enemy number one.
5-0 said freeze.
And hey, Knicks fans, you don't want them to do the choke sign. Make your free throws. Stop the three-pointers when you know they're going to take them. Yep. Play better defense. Keep them out of the end zone, we always say in football. Halliburton was asked after the game. Tyrese Halliburton, which is what I believe Cedric the Entertainer called yeah. him after his yes. church bells celebration indeed. Against Cleveland in the last such comeback win, right? Is what he had to say about the choke move.
In the moment, I mean, I wasn't like plotting on it or anything. I just, everybody wanted me to do it like last year at some different point. But it's just gotta feel right. And it felt right at the time. If it would have been, if I would have known it was a 2, I would not have done it. So I think I might have wasted it. If I do it again, then I might be, people might say I'm like aura farming. So I'm not, I don't plan on using it again.
Can somebody help translate that last line for me?
No idea what
aura farming?
No, like, no idea.
Like you're seeking attention. Ah. You're looking for recognition.
Okay.
You know.
By the way, if he does it again and it makes a comeback and does a joke again, who cares? Aura farm are you on?
Cooper, my 14-year-old, who is a Celtic fan. Again, Sue's got the Celtics and the Patriots. I got the Yankees. When he goes to college and he tells his new dorm mate his favorite teams, they're going to say, what weirdo are you? At any rate, he turns to me, my sweet Coop, says, Dad, looks like you're getting a taste of your own medicine tonight, aren't you?
God, I love that. I love Cooper.
That's what he said to me. And I said, yes, Cooper.
Now go to bed.
I am.
Yes. No ice cream
now
for you.
Go to bed.
To your room.
In front of Chalamet. Is that the new phrase?
In front of Chalamet.
Oh, my God.
In front of Chalamet. Rich and Chris, are we forgetting maybe the most important thing? If Tyrese Halliburton wore a 13 and not a 14, that would have been the walk-off.
Guess what?
Or if he was, actually behind the line, that might have just been all net.
That's true.
Wouldn't have hit the back of the rim.
Interesting. That extra foot. What? Who cares? Listen, this was what Brunson had to say next to a despondent Karl Anthony Towns afterwards. Roll it.
I mean, in the playoffs, when you win, it's the best thing ever. When you lose, it's the worst thing ever. And so the best way to deal with all that is to stay level-headed and making sure we have each other's backs. Obviously, not the way we wanted to finish the game. Obviously, it's not a good feeling, but a lot of basketball left to be played. So we can't sulk. We just got to get better.
I got to be honest with you guys. The
Cat balled out, too.
He did. He was great.
He was great.
Everybody balled out. This was a great game.
It was a great game. It was epic. It's the sort of thing that everybody's going to be talking about. And I understand the NBA playoffs. One game happens. The next game's on Friday. You can turn the page. Right? Yeah. I just have a fear and a feeling. And they're one and the same. This has a sensation of the Gibson home run, the Freddie Freeman home run.
Interesting.
Game one moments of seven game series where you have the sense of game over. I don't know how you come back from this, and it would be a testament to the grittiness that has been ascribed to this Knicks team all season long to find the reserve to go back into that nightmare location, the Mecca, I get it, and even the series, go to Indianapolis, quiet the crowd there, use the home court advantage, and make this just an asterisk and a footnote rather than another tombstone in the decades-long search to find the Willis Reed, Bradley, Clyde Frazier, Red Holtzman, good tidings once again. That is a massive mountain to climb, is what I thought of when I cried myself to sleep last night. Only to wake up in the middle of the night and have it wash over me. That's the type of loss. Have trouble going back to sleep. Talking to yourself to say, it's just a game. You're a grown-ass man. Why are you feeling this way? Get over yourself. That's the type of loss it was. And congrats to the Pacers for doing it again. We'll take a break. Jim Nantz, when we come back, normally he joins us the day after the schedule gets released, but last week he had something called the PGA Championship to do. We'll talk with Jim Nantz about this, the NFL, and everything else when we come back. In the NFL, there's zero margin for error. As we all know, one single mistake can change the outcome of a game, a season, livelihoods, my goodness. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League, Sleep Number knows all of that and makes it their mission to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And thus, you get a Sleep Number bed, you get the same exact thing. I feel it all the time. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it does make the world of difference because you can adjust your bed's firmness on your side differently than the other. And after working out for recovery, it's game changing. That's just one of the things that makes a Sleep Number bed so awesome. It's why 95% of Rams players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of NFL players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint or stain project, saving is at the top of your to-do list. Save now with buy one, get one half off select paints, stains, and primers from top brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot via Visa gift card rebate. Find more Memorial Day deals now at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 5/15 through 5/28.
In front of Ben Stiller. Right? We could go on and on.
Oh, everyone was there last night. John Hamm was there. Everyone was
Hamm,
there.
Yeah,
everyone was
Schefter
there.
Was there with his dad, apparently.
Schefter.
I saw him tweet that one
out.
Wow. Yeah.
Good seat, huh?
Bro.
Doesn't feel so good, does it?
Listen, the 20-point wins the Knicks had in games 1 and 2 in terms of comebacks against the Celtics wasn't, I mean, it didn't have the epic feel to it.
No, because
like hitting the back iron right. And pop, like that moment.
Well, also, the way I thought they were different, I didn't really think that the Knicks choked last night because they were still making shots. It wasn't the it
no,
wasn't
they were
the
doing
Celtics.
Stuff like missing. Cat missed a free throw. Ananobi missed a free throw. Cat also scored where there was 40 seconds left. He drove to the basket. There were 15 seconds left on the shot clock.
Right.
You take that much time off.
But the Celtics were just missing wide open shots. Like that is a choke where you're wide open and you're just missing and missing and missing and missing. The Knicks were still making. The Pacers were just getting 3 for 2. So they weren't really gaining much ground until the very last minute.
Well, there was also a goaltend that I thought should have been called. It looked like Miles Turner got the ball off the backboard. When Brunson went to the basket, also got fouled. No call, but nobody was getting calls last night. Both sides. I don't mean again to bring this up for you, but Cooper said the Halliburton shot. Again, my 14-year-old, I don't know how he remembers this. He said it was similar to the Kawhi Leonard shot against the Sixers. That it hit the
that one hit the rim four times.
Right. It's something similar in the you don't see that.
Right.
To buzzer beat.
You don't get that type of bounce.
As the buzzer's sounding off. Yeah. Like it's either a loss or it's not.
Right.
In the case of, Toronto and the Sixers, it was a loss and a win. This one was a loss in overtime.
Yeah.
From CBS Sports, our good friend Jim Nance is here. Good to see you, Jim. How are you?
Always great to see you. Hello, friend.
Hello,
I'm excited
friend.
To be able to talk a little NFL.
Let's
we just
do it.
Off of a Scotty Scheffler romp in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Good for the game, but I got football on the brain right now.
Standing. Let's do it. Let's do it. We got the notable CBS games just to start this off. And as usual, Jim, a large smattering of Kansas City Chiefs games. Why not? To start things off, though, you are going to be, it's sort of like an old school, I guess, what would you say, Summerall Brookshire CBS sports game, right? An old school NFC battle. You're going to be in Green Bay, right? Lions Green Bay to start things off?
Correct? Yes, you can see there September 7th, we have a doubleheader early. Pittsburgh and the Jets, which should be Aaron Rodgers going back to take on the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
If that comes to fruition, which we anticipate it will. And then, yes, the Lions and the Packers. I like your throwback call there with Brookie and Summerall before it was Madden and Summerall, but I'm thrilled to have it. That's turned into a really nice rivalry now that the Lions are so established and so relevant. They've had some wonderful matchups. They had great games last year, and it'll be a wonderful scene at Lambeau Field at the 4:25 window, week one. We got the doubleheader right out of the box.
And, as I mentioned, there's a lot of red Casey arrows up on the screen, and I guess that's part and parcel of what you get when you're the CBS Sports NFL lead play-by-play announcer, Jim, right?
Well, and first off, for the network, we have 9 Kansas City appearances, 9 of their 17, mm-hmm. which we should have the bulk of it since we are the AFC network, but everybody's jockeying to get, piece of the action. So I think the second most for any one entity is three. We've got nine of them, including early on week four, we have Baltimore and Kansas City, which will be really good. We have you can see it right there, September 28th. And then we're going to have as the primary games on the 19th of October, Raiders in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Always ends up being just so intense. The one, though, that, of course, I'm really trained on, there are two. I'll get to Thanksgiving in a moment. But November 2nd, Kansas City at Buffalo. That is, and I'm not trying to sound like I'm selling a bunch of hyperbole here, but is that not the best rivalry right now in the game?
You
gotta be, right?
You can make that argument, Jim, because obviously you've got somebody who, if he doesn't play another snap, could be put on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacking in Mahomes in many people's opinions. And then you've got Josh Allen, who's the reigning MVP, who is yet to appear in a Super Bowl because mostly Mahomes has been standing in his path. And they're always epic, right? There's no real blowouts here. They're always something epic. It always comes down to the end. There's always a play to talk about the next day on shows like this one.
You know? Well, last year it was 23-21 Buffalo, 4th and 2 at the Kansas City 27-yard line. I mean, it's an interesting what do you do here situation you don't see all the time. You kick a field goal, you make it, you're up 5, but you're going to give Patrick all this time knowing what he needs to do, and you just know that the Chiefs would be marching down the field in all likelihood anyway and winning the game. And Sean McDermott made one of the coolest coaching calls of the year. He went for it, and it ended up being a 27-yard dash to the end zone, bouncing off of 4 or 5 Kansas City defenders, like just shredding their tackle attempts. And it ended up, I called it on the spot, the play of the year in the NFL. I think that play had a lot to do with the momentum that led to him eventually being named the most valuable player. 30-21 final, Buffalo. But to your point, they keep meeting in the regular season because they have the first place schedules,
right,
as division winners. And gratefully, Romo and Wolfson and I, we've had this matchup, I believe, 7 of the last 8 times. And Buffalo wins these regular season matchups, but Kansas City wins in the playoffs. And that's precisely what happened last year with the AFC title game being at Arrowhead and the Chiefs winning that game in a nail biter. So, look, it will be one of the games of the year. And then let me just segue from there.
Sure.
On Thanksgiving Day, Kansas City at Dallas. You could argue the two biggest brands right now in the NFL. The Cowboys have obviously been the brand, the national team moniker, for 40 years at least. And now Kansas City is trying to lay claim to that. They're trying to get a piece of Christmas Day. And on a full-time basis, and they're willing to play anywhere because they're such a brand team. They're so good. But KC and Dallas, to put those two gigantic brands together on the most watched day of the regular season in the NFL, it's going to set records. That's not what I'm out for it to do, but I just hope it's a great football game. But it will be a wonderful matchup to call on Thanksgiving. KC at Dallas. It's the game we wanted. We wanted KC and Buffalo also. And I think those are the headliners on our schedule.
I think, listen, Jim, and you're not about, clearly, you're not a clickbaiter. I think we've established that over your career. But I think, and I've spoken to some people at the NFL as well in the last week since the schedule's come out, that if everyone's healthy and the game does feature the winning teams that we expect, I think the Chiefs and Cowboys could be the most watched game you've ever called in a regular season, ever. I think it has that potential right there.
I think it's a good chance of that. I would love to go back and see what the numbers were like when we had Brady and Manning all those many years. And, yeah, they played 17 times against each other. I got to call 11 of those 17. There was one year, too, in Indianapolis when the Colts were undefeated. And, of course, the Patriots were coming off a Super Bowl win. I know that was a monster rating. By the way, I've got Jim Irsay in my head and in my heart today. I knew him, and I was just devastated to hear the news. You know, he had a really generous heart. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah, I was going to bring him up to you, Jim, because, you know, the one Super Bowl that the Indianapolis Colts won in the rain in Miami that night that everybody talks about for the halftime show. And Tony Dungy wins it, which was historic in its own right. The man who handed the trophy to Jim Irsay, that's you right there in the rain on that night. I was wondering your recollections of this moment, Jim.
Yeah, I know that I got to share that moment with Jim. And I was reminded of that a few times, you know, when I would see him years down the road. But my memory of him was something that happened away from the football field. My father had passed away like eight months before that Super Bowl. And I had written a book about my father. You remember, you were very generous to talk about it a lot, Always by My Side. And when my father passed away, it's amazing what that moment means to you when you lose a parent and the people you hear from, and you're gutted, and it means a lot. It means a lot to me to think back to the people who reached out, and it was an amazing list of people who reached out. But I just wanted to say that Jim Irsay not only reached out to me, he sent the most beautiful flowers and a lovely note.